Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we hear again of your love this morning, love that is the very essence of your being, we ask that by the power of the Spirit at work in us, we may grasp its reality. By faith, may we gain confidence of your presence in us to love boldly, knowing that your desire is to bring about the renewal of all things through your love shown in Jesus. Amen. Are you encouraged as we work our way through John's letter? Well, I hope so. Has anyone been struck afresh as the Holy Spirit has brought them new insight or understanding? I hope some of you have. I have to say that I have. Almost every week when I've turned to Scripture, been really struck afresh by God's love for us. This morning, the subject is God and love. Not one subject and not one object, for God is love. John urges us to continue to love one another. Did you hear that? Continue to love one another. You might at first recognize where you fail to love, but the good news is that God does not fail to love and chooses you to be the vehicle of his love. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. There are things that we call love, which people who are not born of God do, since they don't believe, and believing is a sign of being born of God. These things are not the love which is of God. There are loves that are born of sexual desire and natural affections and philanthropic aspirations, but these don't point to the supernatural work of God. Such loves are not a sign that a person is born of God. What matters is a love that can only be explained by the supernatural work of God. That's the love that assures us that we're born of God, and that's the love that will cause some in the world to see and give glory to our Father in heaven, but not all by any means. So we're not surprised that the world hates the Christian, as John reminds us in chapter 3, because Satan, the ruler of this world, holds them in spiritual darkness. Hence, we're called to partner with the Spirit through prayer to release from spiritual darkness when God's word is spoken and preached. You see how important prayer is, and why encouraging each other through this week of prayer is so significant. If you'd like to know more about, or find more encouragement, I should say, can I recommend the book Dirty Glory by Pete Gregg? It's a book of God's supernatural work around the world that has been fueled by the 24/7 prayer rooms. We haven't got a 24/7 prayer room. Maybe that's a challenge we might live up to one day, but we've got a 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening prayer room above the reception in the parish centre. And Ruth, who's at the back there with a big smile on her face, would be very happy if you have any problem signing up to a space. But she'll need to take your email address, because that will give you a reminder, even if it's an email address of a friend, when your hour you've booked in, okay? So you can go with others, that's okay. There's room for two or three in the prayer room. But can I encourage all of you? Now, the guys at 11 are at work in the middle of the day, but you are between, I don't know, golf and tennis, or knitting and gardening, or coffee. So can I encourage you to sign up for an hour? There's all sorts of lovely resources in there to help you pray, to help you just sit and be in the presence of God. And as his children, he delights when you just come and be with him. Waste an hour with God in the week. I dare you, waste an hour with God. And if you really like it and you find you need another hour, see if you can book another hour and come back again. This letter of John's is all about being so deeply transformed by the love of God within us that we live out the supernatural love of God so that some will see and praise our Heavenly Father. Let's stop and think. God, yes, God of everything that there is in you and me, God in us. The deepest of all statements in John's letter is God is love, found in verse 8. And it is given as the reason why knowing God must result in loving others. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Can we begin to fathom this statement? Surely John wants us to make a start. Love is a necessary part of God's nature. Love was a necessary part of God's nature from all eternity, even before there were any people or angels to love, or perhaps it was the other way around, angels or people to love. What was it about God that made love a necessary part of his nature for all eternity? In John 17, Jesus says, "Father, I want these whom you have given me to be where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began." The reason love was a necessary part of God's nature from all eternity is that from all eternity, God the Father has had a perfect image of himself in the person of God the Son, and has loved the Son with all the energy that lies within him. The simplest way to put it is that God is love because the relationship between God the Father and God the Son is a relationship of love. How wonderful and utterly incomprehensible it is that God the Father should, out of his love for his creatures, send his Son into the world so that we might be restored to that relationship of love in the Godhead, that perfection that Adam and Eve experienced as they walked with God in Eden. "This is real love," writes John. Verse 11, "Dear friends, since God loved us so much, we surely ought to love each other." Seems to be an inconsistency in the text and in our experience. Surely we ought to love each other. Implies that we don't, or don't always, and if we don't, we're not a child of God. So then, the true love that we can and do offer is not human love, but the love of God himself who lives within us. There was a similar apparent inconsistency in the text from earlier in the chapter. Verse 6, "We belong to God, and those who know listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us." How can those who not believe come to receive the gospel in the first place? And why is it that our fellow believers don't always listen either? The inconsistency remains only if we believe the word of God is powerless. The word of God carries with it the power of God. The Son of God spoke, and everything we can see came into being as the Spirit brought life from those creative words in Genesis. So it is consistent with our understanding that when we share the gospel, it is the Spirit who enables deaf ears to hear. And in the same way that when we love with the love of God, the supernatural is communicated through the natural. It is God at work in us and through us. Our responsibility is to love, and God's is to empower our actions and words to bring about his saving work. It's not inconsistent to say, for Jesus to say, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. And then to say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, if the command come contains the very power with which the Father draws. It's in the action of our coming or response that the Spirit transcends to draw us to himself. So faith begins with that first step towards God, who by the Spirit brings revelation. It may feel like a step out of a boat, but once that first step is made, the power of God is at work in us. To steal a few words from the next chapter, 5, verse 1 and 2. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. So the most natural biblical answer to the question, why command a person to love who can't help but love, is that God intends to fulfill his promise through the use of commands. God has ordained to keep us alive in love by the regular feeding of his word. And the word of God contains warnings, promises, and commands. The commands are part of the food that the Spirit has provided for the nourishment of the saints, so that our love will thrive. Which leads to the pastor's question. Are you reading God's word? Is it a part of your daily life? So we're going to stop for a moment. Would anybody like to give a testimony to their reading of God's word this week as they've taken in their spiritual diet? Don't be shy, you're amongst friends. Is it because you're having milk and cornflakes and potatoes and sausages and not having the word of God, I wonder? Can I just ask, does anybody take daily Bible reading notes? Great, that's really good. And for those of you who can look around and see those who've put their hands up, you might want to ask them what they get from their daily Bible reading notes. Okay, it's a bit like having rusks, I think, but it's a good place to start. Because if you really want to get onto solid food, you've got to begin with something that's digestible. But if you don't take your rusks every day, mummy's milk will run out. You really need to be taking something more. David, did you want to come and share something, or shall I come to you? Yeah. So David is saying that he reads his daily Bible reading notes at night before he goes to sleep. And he finds that whatever's gone on during the day, as he reads God's word, it gives him a peace. Okay. One of the things you might not have caught up with is, encouraged by the diocese, dwelling in God's word. So before a meeting, we open the scripture and we read it. We ask God to highlight anything to us. We read it again and then we share with one another. Now, if you've just got off the train from London, like Tim does sometimes, rushing in, the pastor thinks, goodness me, I ought to really get on with the business, you know. But the testimony of those in the PCC who've done that very thing is that once they read God's word, it reminds them what we're all about. And the business gets done in record time with agreements, because the Spirit is invited to be at work within us. We're paying attention to God's word. And you think, well, how does that happen? Well, it's because the supernatural power of God is at work in his word to create in us, mere human beings, all that God would do so that we might bring glory to his name. God at work in us by the Spirit as we receive God's word. I hope you'd be really encouraged to think, goodness me, I must find my Bible and begin reading it, because God, as you invite him, will speak to you through it. Dear friends, this is John, isn't it? But I want to say the same. Dear friends, since God loved us, we surely ought to love each other, encourage each other, spur one another along, that we may run the race set before us and reach the goal. And when we finish, hear these words: well done, good and faithful servant. Let us pray.